Outbreak of Fear, a thriller serial in five parts by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. Part 2, The Second Body.
Sergeant!
I'm coming, I'm coming! Blasted bugs, better than ever. What time is it?
It's just come out of six.
Well, we're starting out to look for that kid at 6:30, come what might. What on earth are you cooking?
Bacon, eggs, and fried bread.
You'll ruin your constitution eating that muck.
Are you want any?
Oh, is it for me as well? Lovely, chuck it over.
And I've made the tea.
Did you let it stand, like I said?
Yes, Sergeant. What time will the others be here? Help yourself to sugar.
6:30. You sure you let this tea stand?
Yes.
How many spoonfuls you put in?
3 heat teaspoons, Sergeant. Exactly as you told me. Here's your breakfast. Mind the plates on. Sir, what do you reckon that screaming was on the moor last night?
You can't believe half of what Albert Maskell says. Lives in a world of his own half the time. You going to eat that fried bread?
Yes, Sarge.
Oh,
have it if you want.
No, wouldn't deprive you. Hope that kid's all right.
Listen, we did what we could, Sarge. The fog beat us.
We should have carried on a bit longer and we might have found her. This tea is terrible.
Sorry, want to make some more?
Oh, no, and spare that whipped puppy look. You sure you're going to eat that fried bread?
Oh, here you are.
It's not good for you, Beaumont. Full of starch, fat, cholesterol. I'm actually doing you a favor. And turn the radio up. I want to hear the news.
All right.
It's 6:00, you early birds. And here's the latest up-to-the-minute local news from Radio Coastline. X-ray. 10 prisoners, amongst them 4 serving life sentences for murder, escaped last night from the maximum security wing of Hexley Prison after killing a prison warder. A massive search operation is underway with roadblocks being set up. The prisoners are extremely dangerous and are known to be armed. Troops from nearby Hexley Barracks have been...
Hexley, how close is that?
30 miles away, just outside our area.
Shush! ...man was admitted to Norriston Hospital last night, suspected to be suffering from rabies. His condition is said to be extremely serious. No other details have been released. Football! Norriston Rollers were defeated 6-0 in their League Cup replay last night. The Financial Times share index...
6 flaming nil? Bunch of cripples.
Oh, morning, Sarge.
Beaumont.
Morning. What's the weather doing?
Fog's lifting. Here, I smell bacon.
You do, but you're not having any.
Farming.
What are you eating? Here, where's my fried bread? I'll have you for that, Clarky.
Oh, I thought you'd finished. Anything on the news?
10 armed prisoners escaped from Exley Nick. Rabies in Norriston. Rangers lost 6-0. And Beaumont made the tea. Clarky, if that kid's dead...
We tried. What else could we have done?
We packed it in too soon. Sounds like our search party. Now, that's not Mrs. Trevor, is it?
Yeah, she insisted on coming.
I suppose we can't stop her. Whose car is that, the big grey one?
Not from round here.
Hello? Anyone there?
Who the hell is there? Did you leave the outside door open?
I suppose I must have done.
Shop!
I'll give him shop. Yes?
Ah, at last. Sergeant Fowler?
Yes, and I am not deaf. You don't have to shout.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Chadwick, Detective Chief Superintendent Chadwick, from Scotland Yard.
Oh?
Does your station usually reek of bacon?
No, sir. Quite often it reeks of kippers. This isn't just a police station, it is also my home. Now, what can I do for you, sir? I'm very, very busy.
Firstly, Sergeant, here's my warrant card, as you clearly have some doubts as to my rank and the respect due to it. Secondly, I have a letter for you from your Chief Constable. You are to open it and read it now.
Yes, sir. I see. I presume you know the contents, sir?
I was with your Chief Constable when he dictated it. As you see, you're to place yourself and your men under my command.
Am I permitted to ask what it's all about?
Richard Aldridge, geologist with oil exploration, killed here yesterday.
That's right. Knocked off a cliff by a van. An accident. We normally handle traffic cases without outside help.
Spare me your heavy sarcasm, Sergeant. Have you any reason to suppose this death wasn't accidental?
No.
No? What about his eye?
He ran smack bang into some thorn bushes. A branch ripped it out. He was probably stoned out of his mind.
Oh, drugs? Well, what do forensics say?
They couldn't trace any foreign substance.
Well, then we can rule out drugs. I also understand he was screaming and calling out to his pursuer as he ran into the path of the van.
He was screaming and yelling, sir. No one saw a pursuer.
Because it was foggy?
Perhaps.
Surely enough to make you doubt that the death was purely accidental.
Perhaps. But why send you? Why such a big noise from the yard?
Oil, Sergeant. International complications. There's oil here. Easily accessible and lots of it. A flood of cheap oil would do wonders for Britain, but will create havoc on the international oil market. Certain Middle Eastern countries will do anything to prevent that from happening. So, when an oil company geologist gets himself killed in strange circumstances, both the oil company and the government start getting nervous. So I'm taking charge.
Come in.
Sorry, sir. Force of that.
We're ready to move off, though, Sarge.
Move off? Where? Look, whatever else you've got on hand, Fowler, I want it cancelled.
Little girl, Debbie Trevor, 10 years old, missing on the moors all night. We were going to look for her, but if it's cancelled, the mother's outside. Perhaps you'd go and tell her.
I'll carry on with the search, Sergeant. I'll come with you. I like to see how my men work.
By the time we reached the moor, the mist was clearing and the sun just starting to break through. In the half-light, Polford looked almost beautiful. Chadwick brought out a pair of expensive binoculars and surveyed the landscape.
How far shall we go then, Sergeant?
Make it as far as those rocks, Pete. When you reach them, wait. I'll come to you.
Right. Come on, you lot.
Clarky? Constable Clark. Take Beaumont and nip over to Harry Day's place. She might have reached there and stayed the night.
He'd have brought her back by now.
Maybe, but check it out.
Right.
Come on, Beaumont.
Rugged country round here, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Do you think I could have a look through those field glasses?
Wait a minute. Hello, what's that? Birds swooping down from the sky. Crows, I think.
We haven't really got time for bird watching, Mr. Chadwick.
Well, something's attracted them. Animal carcass, I think. Sheep, perhaps?
There's no sheep. Oh, no. Now, please, no. Beaumont!
Clark! Over there, quick! Get out of the way! Go on! Get out!
Oh, God.
Sergeant!
Is it the girl, Clarky? Is it the girl?
It wasn't the girl. It was an old man, ugly in death, lying on his back wearing faded striped pajamas, the jacket half pulled from one shoulder to show the thin grey body beneath. His limbs were unnaturally positioned. The feet were bare, raw, cut to ribbons. But the face, it was almost unrecognizable. It had been beaten to a pulp.
God, it's Harry Day.
I asked you to wait for me, Sergeant.
His name's Harry Day. He was 75 years old and he lived in a shack a mile or so from here.
Those head injuries.
No, don't touch the body, Sergeant. This is a murder investigation. We want a doctor and photographs. You.
Sir?
The murder weapon, a heavy lump of wood, metal, stone, might be lying around. See if you can find it.
Yes, sir.
Probably being chucked in the sea.
More than likely. There's a chance he dropped it and ran.
Sergeant! Here! I found a girl!
Debbie Trevor was alive and unharmed in an exhausted sleep. Her night's exposure could have been fatal. But someone had wrapped a thick dressing gown round her as she slept. It was Harry Day's dressing gown.
Harry Day's dressing gown? Are you sure, Doctor?
Of course I'm sure. Harry was one of my patients. Good Lord, it was very hit when I called on him the day before yesterday. That oil company geologist was with him. Strange, they now should both be dead.
Who had covered the girl with the dressing gown? The sergeant tried to question her, but she couldn't help much. It wasn't the old man, she was sure of that. It was someone big. A big man. He'd come in the dark as she was drifting off to sleep and had gently covered her up. This must have been minutes after he'd killed the old man. We gathered round the body at a respectful distance as the doctor carried out his careful and unhurried examination.
We haven't got all day, you know, Doctor.
You're in my light, Mr. Chapman.
I only want to know the cause of death, not his medical history.
The cause of death was heart failure.
What? Heart failure? Look, is there another doctor we can call in?
No, sir.
Look at his face, Doctor. His head. Don't you think that that might have something to do with his death?
No. The blows to the head were delivered after death, a typical post-mortem wounds.
Oh, so you're an expert on post-mortem wounds, are you, Doctor?
For your information, sir, Dr. Lethbridge was a senior Home Office pathologist for nearly 20 years. You're in the CID. You must surely have heard of him.
Dr. Lethbridge. Of course, of course. Why did you give it up?
Overwork. Thought I'd try my skills on the living for a change.
No, we're very fortunate to have someone with your skills. Heart failure, you say?
Yes. My guess is that he ran, and in his bare feet, until his heart gave out. Then his pursuer did this to his face.
Why, for God's sake?
I don't know why. Perhaps he just enjoyed doing it.
And the girl, the dressing gown?
Stripped from Day's body after death. That accounts for the curious placement of the limbs. Then gently wrapped round the sleeping child.
I find that sick.
So do I. He must be a maniac. It's pretty certain he'll kill again.
Before that happens, we're going to find him. We'll need more men, Mr. Chadwick.
I'll contact County as soon as we get back.
I presume you'll be bringing someone in from outside to do the post-mortem?
I doubt if we get anyone with your qualifications, Doctor. But will you do it?
If you wish.
Thank you. We better take a look at Day's cottage now, Sergeant. Good grief, what's been happening here?
The room looked like the saloon bar in a Western film after the big fight scene. Furniture upturned, ornaments broken on the floor, the mirror smashed, pieces of crockery everywhere you trod. Harry Day had put up quite a fight before running barefoot into the dark.
He was 75. We found him nearly 2 miles away. Now, how did he manage to run that far without his pursuer catching him?
I don't know. If there's a maniac loose, we must warn the villagers.
Yes, but don't panic them.
I think you can leave that to me, sir.
Yes. Right, secure the doors and let's go back.
Slow down, Beaumont. This is the law of death.
Sorry, Sergeant.
Where are you planning to stay while you're with us, sir?
I suppose you and Mrs. Fowler couldn't look me up.
My wife is no longer with me, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You needn't be. They take visitors at the pub.
Isn't there a spare room at the police house?
There was, sir. Constable Beaumont occupies it now.
Oh, well. The pub, then.
Good.
Blimey, he's in a hurry.
Who was that driver?
His name's Mitchell, the driver of the van that killed Ulrich.
I know him, Sergeant.
Oh?
Changed his name, but I know him. He's kicked out of the army for various malpractices, then became a mercenary. He'd kill anyone he wanted at a price. He's a big man, isn't he?
You could smell fear in the village. The news and manner of Harry Day's death, following so closely on the peculiar death of the geologist, had affected everybody. Doors usually kept open were now firmly bolted and barred. People stopped going out alone. They saw the hand of the maniac killer everywhere.
I tell you, Sergeant, he smashed my boat. A dirty great hole in the bottom. Take weeks to repair. It's my livelihood.
You saw him do it, Pete?
I didn't see anyone do it. If I'd seen him, he wouldn't have got away with it. Eric Farrow's boat's been wrecked and all.
Oddly enough, someone seemed to have gone on a motiveless orgy of boat smashing. We had 6 reports that morning and 2 more in the afternoon. Also, the 3 public call boxes in the area had been vandalized. The maniac killer was blamed for that as well.
Sergeant Palmer!
I'm on the phone! Telephone engineer? At long last. Sergeant Fowler here, Pulford Police. The 3 phone boxes in this area have been vandalized. Handsets torn out. 2 weeks? People need those phones. All right. But be as quick as you can. Bloody technicians.
Sergeant!
What the hell does he want? Coming, sir!
You want me, sir?
Might have a lead. This lady thinks she's actually seen our man.
Hello, Miss Reed.
Sergeant?
You've seen someone, Miss Reed. When was this?
I've already told your chief superintendent.
Then tell me, Miss Reed. Saves him having to repeat it. When did you see him?
Late last night. Almost 11 o'clock. I looked out of my window, and he was in the garden, staring at me.
Miss Reed's house is barely a mile away from Harry Day's place.
Yes, sir, I know where she lives. Did you get a good look at him, Miss Reed?
Very briefly. It was the shock. I was terrified. He was big, darkish clothes, and his face was black.
You mean he was a black man?
Oh, no. It had been darkened, the way commandos did in the war. Something smeared on his face.
I see. Were you getting undressed at the time?
Undressed?
Really, Sergeant, I fail to see what this has got to do
with... Were you undressed, Miss Reed?
I was getting undressed, yes.
With the light on and the curtains open?
The house stands on its own. There's no one to see me. One gets out of the habit of drawing the curtains.
Does one? How many times have you been in here over the past 3 months making complaints?
Well, I don't
Four
know.
Times, or is it five?
Well, I don't really...
Now, I've got the logbook. I can check if you like.
Five.
And all the same complaint. Strange, beefy men staring in at you. All feasting their dirty eyes on your naked body. I'm quoting your own words, of course.
It happened.
Did it?
Last night was different, Sergeant. There really was someone there.
Okay, Miss Reed, leave it with us. We'll look into it.
Look, that's not enough, Sergeant. I'm all alone out there. I want a police guard, a permanent police guard.
We haven't got the men, Miss Reed, but we'll do what we can. Just take care. Keep your doors locked and your curtains closed. Can you get back all right?
I have my bicycle.
Good. Show the lady out, Constable.
This way, Miss Reed.
Stupid woman.
Not stupid, sir. Terrified. Like most of the people around here. Now, when are we getting more men?
We're not.
What?
I've been on to the chief constable. County haven't got any to spare.
We've got a maniac loose, a double killer, a couple of tracker dogs. That's all we want. We'd have him in no time.
No chance of any tracker dogs. In any case, most of them have been put down.
Put down?
You've heard about the suspected rabies outbreak?
Yes, yes.
Well... Let's forget about the suspected. There's no doubt at all. It's one hell of an outbreak.
Huh?
We're not releasing full details to the public, so keep this under your hat. About a month ago, an anti-vivisection group broke into the government research laboratory at Norriston. They opened cages and released over 40 laboratory animals. Dogs, cats, rats, guinea pigs. The animals were being used in a research program to develop an anti-rabies vaccine. They were all rabid.
No.
Officially, 3 people have died. Let me tell you, unofficially, that the death toll to date is 23, and another 16 will die within the next 2 days.
Good God.
So you see, our 2 deaths must seem rather small beer to county at the moment. One bonus, though. County are establishing a 3-mile no-go buffer zone between our boundary and Norriston, letting no one in or out. So our killer must still be in the area.
And all we've got to do is find him.
It's the vicar to see you, Sergeant. Said he called earlier.
Forgot about him. Can't see him now. Tell him I'm out. Oh, hello, Vicar. Come in, come in. Thank you, Beaumont. Vicar... This is Detective Chief Superintendent Chadwick, and I'm afraid we are rather busy.
I'm sure you are, Sergeant. Terrible business, this. Just terrible. Actually, that's why I'm here. Oh, dear. I'm sure you'll think I'm wasting your time, but...
Sit down, Vicar. Let's hear it.
It's about the old Lancing graveyard.
That's a disused private graveyard outside the village, Mr. Chadwick. Reports of lights flickering there at night. We'll look into it, Vicar. First chance we get.
It's the old Lancing vault where the stone coffins are. You probably know the church receives a small annual sum from the Lancing estate for minor maintenance of the vault. I usually check it once or twice a year for structural faults. Mere formality, actually. They built much better for the dead than they did for the living in those days.
Is this going to take long? Because only we've got an awful lot to do.
Bear with me, Mr. Chadwick. I'm coming to the point. This is the key to the vault. The same key I've used for the past 18 years. Yesterday, it wouldn't fit the lock.
What do you mean?
The lock had been changed.
Without your knowledge?
Yes. When I examined it closely, I could see it was a brand new lock, but aged somehow to make it look like the old one.
Now what's inside this vault?
Stone coffins, human remains.
Nothing worth pinching?
No. But if you were stealing, you'd hardly fit a new lock.
What's this got to do with poor old Harry Day's death? You said that was why you came here.
You're looking for his killer. It occurred to me, Sergeant, what's better hiding place for a man on the run than that old vault? Lock yourself in. No one would ever know.
Thank you very much, Vicar. We'll follow it through.
I'll leave the key.
Thank you. Leave it to us. Mind how you go.
Now I hope you don't think I've been wasting your time.
Of course not. Now what's the use of the flaming key if it don't open the lock?
Damned amateur detectives. Harebrained theories. The geologist, Aldridge, did he have a car?
If he did, I never saw it. He only came into the village a couple of times for supplies. Camped out in a tent somewhere.
Give me strength. A man has been murdered and you don't even know where he was living? You haven't even searched his tent?
With the greatest possible respect, sir. Yesterday we were investigating a road accident, not a murder. But if you want to find his tent, we'll go and look for it. Balmont!
Sergeant, there it is.
Come on, Mr. Chadwick, we've found the tent.
Sergeant, there's somebody inside.
What?
Blimey, you're right.
Could be the killer.
Yeah, Beaumont, quick. Circle around the back. Move in on my signal. Mr. Chadwick.
Yes, what do you want?
Now, over there. Approaching from the side. Wait for my signal. Right. Now!
Stay away from me. First one to move gets it.
Look out, he's got a knife.
Put it down, Joe. All right, everyone, relax. I know him, he's harmless.
Harmless? With a carving knife?
Give me the knife, Joe. Come on. That's better.
Who is he?
His name's Joe Hardy. A tramp, a cadger, a thief.
I fought in two world wars.
And a liar.
Volunteered September 3rd, 39. Wouldn't take me cause of me chest. Gas, World War One.
You weren't even born then. What are you doing here?
I've got to find somewhere to keep. I'm an old soldier hero. Got medals, pawned them to buy food. What sort of country treats its heroes like that, eh?
You knew he was dead, so you pinched his tent.
Ever so cold out on the moor at night, Sarge. I'm sure Mr. Aldridge, God rest his soul, wouldn't begrudge an old ex-serviceman mentioned in dispatches the use of his tent.
Where's Aldridge's things? His belongings. Nothing here apart from the sleeping bags.
That's all there was when I came, sir, honest. I thought there might be a few scraps of food, some sustenance for an old soldier down his luck, but no. Damn all, that's what there was. Damn all.
What's those then?
That, oh, just a couple of tins of stuff I've managed to acquire in me travels, sir. Emergency rations.
All right, Joe, turn out your pockets.
Hey?
You heard? Now, come on, I haven't got all day. Oh, my God, what's that?
My handkerchief.
Don't look, Beaumont, it's too horrible. Hello, and what's this?
Little trinket. Lady, give it me.
You're a liar. Last time I saw it, it was on old Harry Day's dresser. That's where the food came from, wasn't it? And the knife. You pinched it from Harry Day's kitchen.
Mr. Day was dead. He had no use for it.
How did you know he was dead?
Saw his body.
What? When was this?
Early this morning. Still dark it was. Too cold to sleep. Found him. Face all smashed in.
What about the girl? Was it you who covered her with the dressing gown?
What girl? What dressing gown? I never touched nothing. Got the hell out of it, then I thought, poor Mr. Day, he wouldn't begrudge an old soldier a few crumbs of comfort.
So you went back to see what you could fetch?
Proper mess it was. Broken crockery, furniture knocked about. Didn't like the feel of that place. Just grabbed a couple of things and ran.
Take him in, Sergeant.
Hold on, sir. Take a sniff at him. Go on, a good sniff. You think I want that in the police house?
He killed that old man.
Me?
For a few trinkets and some food.
Being your honest, sir, my life, I never touched him. I did all my killing in the war, sir. Top Nazi panzer troops I killed. Single-handed, face to face. Not by old men in the dark. I know who did kill him, though.
Who?
That bloke down the graveyard.
The Lansing graveyard?
Yeah, a bloke down there. Violent enough for anything he was, he'd kill. I could tell from his eyes. I was going to get down there the other night. Wind cuts through these thin clothes, truly.
All right, all right. Get on with it.
Sometimes people give me warm clothes, Sarge. Now, there's a coincidence. I'm about your size, Sarge.
Just get on with it.
Well, when the wind's blowing, you get a bit of shelter from the lee of that vault. Oh, what a way for a warrior, though, to exist, eh? Crashing down a lousy graveyard.
Get to the point, Joe.
I'm telling you, just got off it when I'm kicking the ribs. Wakes me up. Oh, still flaming feeling. I could show you the bruises.
No, anyway, thanks.
There's this torch shining in my face and this bloke staring down at me. He says if I don't get the hell out of there, he'll smash me bleeding face in.
Sounds like the vicar.
No, wasn't the vicar. Bigger than him. Tall, beefy bloke. Black balaclava helmet over his face.
Do you recognise him again?
No, but oh, he didn't half kick me.
All right, Joe, now hop it. Quick, before we change our minds.
Yes, Sarge. Thanks, Sarge. Can I take the beans?
Yes, all right, go on. Oi, leave the knife.
Okay, Sarge.
Would you kindly remember, Sergeant, that I am in charge and that I, not you, say who is go and who isn't?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe a word he was saying, not a damn word. But your next priority, Sergeant, must be to take a look inside that vault.
That was part two of Outbreak of Fear by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. The rest of the cast: Dave Clark, Cornelius Garrett, Dr. Lethbridge, Paul Nicholson, Pete Carter, Derek Graham, Chadwick, Nicholas Courtney, Joe Hardy, John Gabriel, Miss Reed, Anne Morrish, the Vicar, Ronald Russell, and the radio DJ, Jim Reed. The program was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.